we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. You know, we're working up towards Easter. It's just a few weeks away. It comes pretty early this year, March the 27th. And so hopefully you're going to get to spend time with your family. And but we're already gearing up for Easter and going to be debuting some new things at the church. And we'd like to invite you now. I have already been praying and hearing from God as to what to share on that day. And so we pray that you'll come out. We have an Easter picnic afterwards. But we only have Sunday morning service that day. We don't have Sunday night service. So if you would, begin now to plan, if you don't have any place to go, we have a kids event where the kids not only walk away with candy, like they do at an egg hunt and stuff like that. We do that too, to have fun, but we will be having a kids event following, or as part of our morning service that day, kids service, where they will have a presentation of the gospel, and we want kids to know that Jesus loves them. Listen, we can't talk about Jesus in school anymore. We can't read the Bible in school. We can't pray in school. Many homes are not raising their kids with a knowledge of God, and so we need to take advantage of the opportunity that we have to speak into kids' lives so that they grow up with a fair shot of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can have a healthy, holy, and happy life. And so we want to invite you, if you have kids, come that day. We will be presenting the biblical gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So come be a part of that. That is on March the 27th. So with that being said, we want to get into the Word. You don't have to wait till Easter Sunday to start attending Merritt Assembly of God. We have seats available currently, and so we would love to have you. If you do not have a church home, come and be a part of this. So today we're going to get back into the Word. I've got a little bit more that I want to share on the nature of gifted people that we're talking about from the children of Abraham, you know, where they can be talented or musical like Zimron was. They can be insidious, like, which means Jokshan was. And on the outside, they could pretend to be one thing, but on the inside, they could be rotten to the core. They could, instead of being a blessing, they could actually be toxic. They could sow strife and contention and discord. And so those are some of the characteristics, but we also have been looking at this thing called abandonment. Abraham's wife, Keturah. Goodness, my pages are all stuck together here. Yeah, Keturah. Her fifth child that she bore to Abraham, Ishbak, that means he will leave or abandonment. And, you know, sometimes when you have been rejected or when you've been abandoned, sometimes you have an expectation, well, this one is going to leave too. This one is going to leave as well. We had a series of staff members at Merritt Assembly of God, and each one of them lasted about a year and a half or two years. This goes back into the early 2000s. And I was having a conversation with some of the youth, and they had, after going through this cycle of various staff people, I told them that someone else was leaving, and they said, well, They're just like everybody else. They just come and they pass through, and they will leave as well. And what had happened was, as the last staff person had come in, the youth did not get as attached to him as they had to others, because they had already experienced so many abandonment issues that they were not going to get attached anymore. And I want you to know that Christianity should, being a member of a church, being part of a church, should result in some of the deepest relationships you have, some of the most loving relationships you have. They shouldn't result in a whole bunch of rejection and abandonment issues that people are afraid to get attached to one another. And I've talked about some, the history of some churches. I knew a pastor that at one point in time, and it's one of these two statistics, either way it's sad, one is more sad than the other, but he had either pastored 7 churches in 11 years or he had pastored 11 churches in 7 years. And I think it was 7 and 11. But that means that on average he was staying about a year and a half. And that's not long enough to hardly get to know everybody's name. A person asked him a question about that, and they said, well, you know, some of us can get more done in a year and a half than other people can in a lifetime. And I want you to know it is the Christian church is not all about what can you do for me or what can I do for you. It should be about building relationships in the bond of love that result in lifelong, healthy, vibrant relationships. I may not be in the same location as I have been, but I am still in relationship with almost every person that I've ever served under. That's the way that I am. I am a relational person. I would rather do business with someone that I know than someone that I don't know. And so a lot of times, if you have experienced that abandonment issue, you begin to lose sensitivity or lose a longing for a healthy, vibrant relationship. Let me take you to 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18. It says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So here, these are people who were part of the local church community, and they had gone out, and it links this lack of commitment with an antichrist mindset. Now, I have, you know, done a series of teachings here on rebellion. You know, what rebellion looks like, if you're the person in authority over me, if it's me, or if it's someone under my authority. I've done that lesson. And I also believe that abandonment can happen in a couple of ways. Abandonment can be a person who is in an organization and they said, you know what, I'm just done, I'm just out of here. But there can also be abandonment where the organization itself abandons what it once stood for, and the people who are still in the organization are there, and they're left with an organization that no longer represents the things that they once stood for. I teach a church history class, and it's actually a Assemblies of God history and polity, church government. And as I do that, what I want to actually do during that class, my goal is to create in the class a hunger to learn about history themselves. I only get to lecture. I mean, there's about 3 or 4 hours where we do testing and things like that of the things that they've studied, and a couple hours that I get to lecture, about 3 hours that I get to lecture them, half on history and half on church government. So I want to create in them a mindset and appreciation for history that when they walk out of the class, they can put those principles to good use. And so I ask them questions like this. would Martin Luther recognize today's Lutheran Church? Would John Wesley recognize and appreciate today's Methodist Church? Would John Knox recognize and appreciate the modern Presbyterian Church? And I ask those things, and lest you think I just pick on other denominations, I want you to know, I said, would the early founders of the Assemblies of God, would they recognize and appreciate the current Assembly of God Church? And so I'm not here to answer the question for you. I'm just here to ask the question, to get you to ponder it, because many of our current organizations no longer stand for or represent the things that people committed to in the process. I want you to know that if I became unfaithful to God and unfaithful to my wife, that and my wife was no longer around because I had abandoned everything I stood for, that would not be her abandoning me. That would have been me abandoning her. And so there may be people who are out there who believe that the church no longer stands for the principles of God's word. And if that's you, I want to pray that God leads you to a church that does stand for biblical values and believes in repentance and forgiveness of sins and the power of the word and the grace of God, and that you're more than an overcomer, and it's about relationship. I believe that firmly. I've had people tell me that in order for the church to grow, you have to destroy the concept of a church family. And there's not a family that's represented in our church where there's one family that controls the power or any of that sort of stuff. We have intentionally set out not to create that. We have, however, set out intentionally to create a family of believers united in relationship with Jesus Christ who want to restore value to people spiritually and relationally. That's what our family is. So even though we don't have much blood family here, our kids are in the area, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are unbelievable as far as their maturity, their commitment. And I honestly don't understand how people do life without the church. And so it says here that the Antichrist was evidence, first of all, that it is the last hour. And so these are the last times. The Bible does talk about apostasy or a falling away from the faith that will take out. And it said that they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And so I hope that there's something in your life. See, I believe that God hates divorce and painful separation from the church. And so we are to do all that we can to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so I pray that you're not a person who walks out the door easily. However, we're talking about gifted people here, and gifted being the lowest level of these three types of kids that Abraham had: gifted, blessed, and covenant. And we're spending most of this time talking about these gifted ones because most people don't really talk about this. Gifted people can sometimes have commitment issues. Well, I'm doing you a favor by allowing you to experience the blessing of my gifts. They believe that it is beneficial for us to be there. And so when it comes to some local issues, I'll be honest with you, I look for people who have commitment as a core value in their life. That's what I'm looking for. We're looking to build the kingdom. And when it comes to building Merit Assembly of God, what we are looking for are people who are saying, you know what? We want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're looking for people. We believe that God will call you and divinely place you in a local body of believers. So we're not here to solicit people from other churches. That's not the way to build a church. Well, it might be a way to build a church, but it's not the way to build a kingdom. We want to focus on building the kingdom, and as we do, God is going to build our congregation. So when I was in retail management, they trained me on how to hire people, and they said, whenever a person comes in and applies for a job, we want you to look at their history. You know, and if you've ever been to a doctor's office, they ask you what your medical history. Well, when I was in retail management, they asked me to look at a candidate's job history. And they said, if you see that they've been at this job for 6 months and that job for 6 months and the job before that for 3 months and the job before that for 4 months, they said, I don't care how talented they are. Don't hire them. They have commitment issues. And so when I begin to dialogue with people, I begin to try and find out with them, you know, what is your history? What is your level of involvement? How long is your cycle? And I've known a number of people, and when it came to things in their life, they were good for about 3 years. Some were good for about 4 years, some 5 years, some 6 years. But, you know, when you've got people around you that you can say, you know what, they are in this for the long haul. You know, my marriage to my wife is till death do us part. I've not been a perfect husband, and my wife has stuck with me through some seasons of growing. You know, when you're young, you think you know everything, and it takes a little bit of time before you realize that you haven't got a clue about much. And so when we first got married, we didn't have the benefit of marriage counseling. Every time we tried to set that up, it fell through. And so I learned a lot of things the hard way. And so whenever I go through premarital counseling with a couple, now I try and help them to understand some of the things that I learned the hard way. And so, you know, but when God calls you, he calls you for good. Amen. And so, if you look at these gifted people and you find that there is a trail of people or projects or ministries that they have abandoned because they're constantly looking for someone or something better, that's an issue. That is an issue. It really, really upsets me. It always has. Whenever I have encountered people and they say, oh, yeah, my husband traded me in for a younger model, that just really grates on my nerves. Because I believe in commitment. I believe in walking in covenant. And so don't surround yourself with people who have commitment issues. And there may be people who are listening to this program right now, and I want you to know, living together without commitment is not the same as being married. It's not, because at the core of the living together argument is about convenience and about economics, and the core of being married is about a covenant commitment. And so I don't care how good looking they are. I don't care how many toys they have. I don't care how smart they are. If they refuse to commit, then don't get that attached to them. Anyway, that's my little soapbox there for today. We want to go on and begin talking about kid number six. And their name is Shua, S-H-U-A-H, Shua. And this level, or this name, actually means to sink. Gifted people will drag you down instead of building you up. They will cause you to sink to a new low. You see, commitment is not an anchor that weighs you down. If you watch a lot of superhero movies, you will find that the villains portray the superheroes as burdened down by this commitment to character and looking out for the well-being of other people. And it's not for them, it's not about the power, but they look at these superheroes and say, you're weak because of your commitment. I believe it is commitment that makes you strong. At one point in time, we had a piece of shrubbery that was planted at the church. It had been transplanted from a little 5-gallon plastic container to a spot, and the person that planted, so it was transplanted once, and the person came along a few weeks later that planted it and said, you know what, I don't think that's the right place for it, and they transplanted it to a second location. They came by a few weeks later and they said, I don't think this is the right spot either, and they put it in a third location. And when they came back a few weeks later, there was nothing to transplant because the plant had died because it had not been committed to a certain area to grow. We also have a plant at our church. It's a bird of paradise. It started off as the exact same size plant. It was planted in one location, and it has been allowed to stay there ever since. It's probably 20 years it has stayed in there. It is the, you know, a person who came along, they were saying, do you have, they took it to a nursery, and they said, could you tell us what type of plant this is? The lady said, I think it is a bird of paradise. And they said, well, how tall is it? And it's about 15 feet tall. And they said, oh no, a bird of paradise never grows that tall unless it's really happy. And, the lady from our church said, well, this one is ecstatic because it is above our roof line at the church. And I believe that our roof is 14 or 15 feet off the ground, and it grows beyond that. And because it has been committed to that one location, it just grows and it thrives. And it's not sinking to new lows. It is reaching new heights. And so bad company corrupts good character. If you hang out with the wrong type of people, they will drag you down. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so we don't want to be the type of people who are doing great things. Listen, you can be a gifted musician. You can be a gifted speaker and not be walking in covenant relationship with God. We are looking for people who know God, because people who know their God will do great exploits. God looks to exalt the humble, and he looks to humble those who exalt themselves. And so today it is not about, Lord, Lord, look at what we have done. Look at what we have done. It's simply by the grace of God. We are saved by grace. It is because of the work that Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. But he looks, you see, the devil looks to destroy you. There's a mindset in society that says, look at how glorious and how famous these people are that are no longer using their giftings for the Lord. And I want you to know, it is not about how high they reach for a season. It is about how low the devil will drag them for an eternity. And right now, I want to encourage you, we're going to talk about walking in covenant does not mean you are gift or does not mean you are without giftings. It actually means exactly the opposite. Isaac is going to be gifted, blessed, and walking in covenant. And so please don't misunderstand that if you're gifted, you can't be part of the body of Christ. You can be all of these things. You can be walking as a gifted person, blessed person, and a covenant person. And that's really what we are trying to communicate here. Knowing here in Matthew chapter 7 is a term of intimacy that is reserved for people of covenant. That it's not that he doesn't have an awareness. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not that he doesn't know what you've done. It doesn't see, God says he knows what you have need of before you ever ask. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows what's going on in your eye. He knows everything there is that's going on in your life. He knows all about that, but he's looking for you. He's looking for your heart. You see, I don't love my wife because of what she's able to do. I love her for who she is. And I tell adults all the time, look, you need to continue to nurture that relationship. Don't allow the distractions and the fruit of that relationship. Don't allow those things to destroy that relationship, because it will drag you down to a new low. Gifted people may prophesy, cast out demons, do amazing things, but if they lack covenant relationship with God and with people, that's not going to go well. These gifted people aren't even mentioned. We're going to close with this. They're not even mentioned as showing up at Abraham's funeral, their own father's funeral. It mentions when in Genesis chapter 25 there, I believe it is Genesis chapter 25. I'm flipping back there. It mentions that Ishmael shows up at the funeral and Isaac shows up at the funeral. It says in verse number 9, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. These gifted people, they moved on. They received their gifts. They were sent out, but they never came back, even to honor their father. And so I want to encourage you, if you are looking to surround yourself with people who are just gifted, I want you to know, once they're gone, they're probably going to be gone. I would much rather live my life in such a way that people say, you know what, I honor you while you're alive. I honor you when you're gone. I'm going to treasure the relationship that we have. And so today, if you are one of these gifted people, I want you to know I recognize and honor musicians. I think it ought to be a foreign language in school, because I there's so much work. It should also get athletic credit if you're in marching band or ROTC. You know, that's just what I believe. But don't let that gifting deceive you into believing you don't need a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with other people. That is what it's all about. Let your giftings be used for the glory of God and help it to build his kingdom and relationships with others. Father, I just pray today in the name of Jesus, Lord, that people today will not be sinking to new lows, but you will be propelling them to new heights because of their relationship with you. We humble ourselves before you today. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.